You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. To you. Michael Francis McNamara. That's what my mom named me. Went to watch my daughter play volleyball yesterday, Colleen. Let me tell you what I think is the best part about athletics, and depending on how they do the arts, the same. And it's a chance for you as a parent to link hard work and rewards in a very tangible thing that a child can see. It's a chance for you to teach, in my opinion, the greater lessons of life. Hard work, discipline, being a teammate, right? How to overcome adversity. All those things are real in athletics, and which is why I think that I enjoyed them so much. It's why I think I gravitated away from my aviation contract in the Marine Corps and towards being an infantry officer, because it made sense to me. That kind of a team. And so it's cool when, again, depending on what your kids get involved in, you try to teach those lessons to all of them. And so I love that Colleen is now involved athletically in high school, and best she's ever played yesterday. So it's awesome to have that conversation. It's like, hey, you know the only reason that's happening, right? I know why. Because I work hard, that's right. Because let me tell you, you ain't LeBron James, so you better be working hard. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but so no, I love athletics. And I love what it does for kids in terms of developing. And here's another thing: things you've never heard said on the planet in terms of how do you create good, strong people, right? How do you do that? Have you ever had a kid run into their bedroom and come out and say, hey, look, I just wanted to show you these participation awards I got for being in a soccer tournament. You'd never heard that. You know, how do you give kids esteem? You don't give it by giving them trinkets for nothing. Esteem is earned, right? We all know it. We all can point to things in our life and say, yeah, that in retrospect, changed me. That guy in retrospect changed me. That woman changed me. Normally there's hard work and achievement tied in there. You cannot convince a kid or give a kid esteem by handing them trinkets. And so to me, all that stuff is so flawed and wrong-headed. You know, you build young people, and it's not, you know, but it's through hard work, right? You know, we used to, when I was a kid, and probably when many of you were kids, there was an MVP given out on a team, and then there was a coach's award, right? Which would you rather have your kid win? I would tell you, you'd rather have your kid win the coach's award. Why? What was that? That was the best kid on the team. Combination of athletics and the kind of person they were. That's what you want. Everybody else gets a medal? Okay, what's it worth to them? Nothing. Right? Did they work hard? Did they? Probably not. So, anyway. So I was reminded me of that conversation. I want to talk a little bit about Afghanistan today. There's another attack, and it's about 30 miles north of Kabul. And one thing, my experience in Ramadi, Fallujah, and Afghanistan is when their attacks, and this one, supposedly 30 Afghan forces have been killed. Okay, that's and it's not the one in Ghazni. Ghazni is a separate event. Ghazni is now in the can. Many Taliban dead. Blah 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 blah. Okay, and that's a good thing, right? The concerning thing is if you don't have any idea that these are coming. So that means they're moving, they're massing, and nobody's picking up the phone and telling you. Why is that? Because either they're sympathetic or they don't believe that you control the region. If they believe that you control the region and there would be no retribution, then maybe somebody would say something. But either the region is contested, or they don't believe that you're the, for whatever reason, they don't believe that you're the strongest tribe. And so they're not going to say anything to you. And so that was my experience in Ramadi, Fallujah, and it changed in every place. And when you had, for instance, I'll tell you a story, in Afghanistan, we get intelligence of a suicide bomber being brought into the region. And we all had experience with that. None of it was good in Iraq because they were really good at it. Afghanistan, not so much. But the perception in the region was we were the strongest tribe. We were laying the wood to them all throughout the Helmand province. Okay. And so people picked up the phone and or they stopped somebody or they left anonymous notes and they let you know, hey, this is going on. A lot of it through some of the like village elders and things like that. Hey, somebody in my village was out and they saw this and I want you to know this. All right, that is all, those are things you want because you've obviously in a part of the world where, how do I say this? In the part of the world where the heavy hand rules the day, it's good to be the heavy hand. it's good to be perceived as the strongest because people understand that. They respect that. And when you're fighting an insurgency, I think that's part of it, is you have to be the strongest tribe. People have to see that their future is with you, and then you have to seek some kind of political settlement with whoever the insurgent group is. So, anyhow, to me, the major concern would be in Afghanistan is if they're able to mass four attacks and you don't hear anything as they're driving their trucks and they're doing all their stuff and guys are walking around with weapons and nobody picks up the phone to warn anybody, you've got a different problem than you're being attacked. That's the immediate problem. So what's going on there? How is this happening and we're not knowing about it? So, as I said, another attack, the one that happened in Ghazni over the weekend. Again, will any of it turn out well? No. But what you're seeing is symptoms. What you're seeing is symptoms of something that's not good. Okay? Something that's not good, and that is the control that the Afghan government has over parts of their country as they seek to go from a country that has kind of a national border, but there was no nation of Afghanistan. Yeah, Afghanistan, what? I'm from Kabul. No, I'm from Kandahar. No, I'm from Lashkargah. Like Afghanistan? Like why would I fight for that? I don't know that. So, so the United States, in its infinite wisdom, decides that, yeah, we'll broaden the ground war to try to fix this thing. Okay, boys and girls, you ready to stay here for 60 years? Because that's what it'll take. So anyway, that to me, my concern when you see these attacks going on, the fact that they can do them and nobody picks up the phone means... The attack will get dealt with, and if they're not smart enough to do it and then get the hell out of there, okay, they'll die, all of them will die, okay, because the Afghan army will get there, the American quick reaction forces will get there, American aviation will get there, and they will be annihilated. That's just the way it is. So. If the Taliban isn't smart enough to get their guys out of there, then at the end of the day, in spite of your concern about the intel, you've just eliminated 50, 100, 150 Taliban fighters. That's not easily regenerated. So, anyway, so good Wednesday morning to you. Let me tell you what we're going to do on the show, and I want to talk about the Catholic Church here in a minute. Yeah, how about that? Well, let me talk about the Catholic Church. I'll tell you what we're doing on the show. Big investigation release, if you didn't see it, in Pennsylvania. I was... I am born and raised a Catholic. And I have, like many, grown disillusioned with the institution of the Catholic Church. I think the Catholic philosophy is a great philosophy. I mean, you can tie the Catholic philosophy to, an idea that was spread throughout Western Europe intellectually that we're all equal in the eyes of God. That becomes the basis of democracy and this land that is the United States. It was keeled, it was created, with the Judeo-Christian concept of God. So the philosophy, and people can quibble with some of the stances the church has taken on abortion and whatnot. My own opinion is the Catholic Church is awaiting a rebirth. That rebirth, though, can only come when they drop this ridiculous notion of celibacy. that notion has essentially injected into the institution predators who live in this dark world, and it's revealed in it's revealed in the investigation done in Pennsylvania. And what I hope is, I don't know ultimately how much the lawsuits will be or whatnot. So I hope that the Pope does away with the vow of celibacy. Because I know guys that would be priests if they could have families. That kind of work, they're devout Christians, they're devout Catholics, and they would absolutely sign up for that. Great, great guys who would happen to be your priest. And then the other thing I think they ought to do is they ought to open it to women as well. So with the injection of the kind of people that you would get if they do away with I think the nonsense of celibacy, it is clearly, I would say, destroying the Catholic Church as an institution. Can you imagine in those parishes? You know, and then now, you know, you're getting priests from different parts of the world because they can't fill all the billets. Guys come from Africa. You can't even understand them when they're speaking. And that's if you have two good ears. What? So I hope that, and I think the Catholic Church, and look, other states, I'm sure, after they see this, they'll start their own investigation. And, you know, we've talked about the American democracy. And what? How does our democracy change? How does that institution change? The answer, normally, it doesn't change on its own. Normally, something has to act on it externally that either destroys it or comes close to destroying it, and that creates the impetus for change. Now, I hope, in the case of the United States, it doesn't happen, but when you look at the shit show that comes out of Washington, D.C. every day, and you think, okay, how does this get better? Riddle me that, Batman. How does it get better? I don't see how it does. I see that we are in for more of the same. So, but to finish my thought on the Catholic Church, between the money that will be exacted if more and more states in the United States do these type of investigations, and if those states then go ahead and enact legislation that says, yeah, the statute of limitation is put in abeyance for these crimes, and the church is forced to settle with victims, and it has already, I want to say, in where I live in Orange County, it was over $100 million they had to settle. Yeah. So anyway, some thoughts on that investigation. I have no, you know, again, that whole vow of celibacy is ridiculous. And I've heard, I had a priest on my show I did in North Dakota, and we were debating this. And he actually, in the middle of it, we were arguing, and he called me Michael Francis, and I froze. Right? That's like Catholic code for shut it. And I said, hey, don't do that to me on my program. He said, what? I said, call me by my first and middle name. You know what that means. And he started laughing. He said, it worked. I said, I know. Don't do that to me. But he said, no, the rationale has been that if you have a family, it detracts from your ability to look after others. And I said, did the shepherd take a vow of celibacy? And he said, whoa, well done. I said, no, the shepherd had a family. Did he still look after his sheep? Yeah. The shepherd was not a single guy out roaming around. He was normally a farmer. Right? He was raising sheep. He was the shepherd. Yeah. He got a family, okay. So anyway, yeah, I think, and the people that would flock to those jobs, and the complete re-energization of those parishes around the nation. If you had just absolutely wonderful people as spiritual leaders in communities. So anyway, just some thoughts on the Catholic Church. All right, we're going to talk to Luke today. You're going to meet Luke. I called him yesterday after the interview with the Lopez family play. If you haven't heard that, write it on your hand, write it on your forehead so you see it. Listen to the interview that I did yesterday with Carlos Lopez Sr. and his wife Anita. Their son Carlos Lopez Jr., soldier, 82nd Airborne, fought in Iraq and Afghanistan, got involved in theater, moved to Los Angeles, co-starred in the series Operation Repo, and took his life about 6 weeks ago. They will celebrate his life on Saturday, so I wanted to have him on and talk about it and help them get that word out. But when you hear some of the things that they said, one, their disappointment in the VA. The VA did not help our son. And now here's where we are. And then the other things you hear the pain in their voices. When you hear a mother say, he looked at me and said, I can't tell you some of the things I've done because I don't want to change the way that you look at me. And you can imagine what would a mother's response would be. You know, honey, I'll never change the way I look at you. You are my baby. You're my son. And then him looking at her and saying, I don't want you not to love me as much. And I'm afraid that that's what will happen if I tell you these things. So just if you just thinking about that, you know, and I'm sure some people will say, oh, you know, he doesn't know what the love of a mother is. He can't. He's a son. He can't. But he's thought about it. He's thought about it. And I'm pretty sure that in the post I put up yesterday, I put the link to an extract from a movie that he made. Let me just see if I did. I think I did. The GoFundMe, their GoFundMe thing is in there. And so let me just check, because if you should watch it, because in this, it's about, I want to say, a 12-minute video clip. In that clip, I mean, you can see he's not acting. GoFundMe, yes, the link to the link to the video is in there, and you see him glimpses into different parts of the world that he lives in, right? As somebody who's struggling with mental health based on, you know, being involved in a war. And then he's looking at his therapist and he says, and look at me now. Look at me now. I'm here acting like a pussy in front of you. Okay. So that's this multifaceted person who's been raised to be, you know, a tough guy, who's raised to be a warrior, who's trying to come to grips with who he is and what he is, and how he coexists with this. And so again, listen to it. It's an interview again with Carlos Lopez Sr. and his wife Juanita, and awesome people for doing it. And I want to thank my two friends of mine from Sacramento, their brothers Clarence Gandy and Chris Gandy, thanks to them, but listen to that. So after doing that, I called Luke yesterday and I said, hey man, now you know Luke from hearing about him on the show. Mike Gunner and I, when we drove through Alabama, we went and had dinner with Luke and Emma, his fiance. So I called Luke yesterday, and I'd mentioned to him about, hey, man, you need to come on. Because the story I want Luke to tell is the story of how young veterans, not old veterans, get frustrated with the VA, but we're used to it. But the story of young veterans, what was it like for him to go to the VA? Who did he talk to? What did they tell him? And so I want you to, and then, I mean, I think, luckily for him, is somehow or other he finds All Marine Radio and he starts listening. And he hears people from his tribe talking, and it's familiar with him. He knows it, right? Yeah, right. So, and he starts hearing things, and then he busts off an email. And then it gets answered, and then a dialogue starts. And so today you're going to hear from him. You'll hear from him. So, without any further ado, the United States Marine Corps band makes today official. Good morning to you. Dedicated to the soldiers right now that are fighting in north of Kabul. Get after them, boys. Make it hurt.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night? Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran, and you came home, and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time for us to check the temperatures in Marineland. Currently sunny in 82 in Quantico. Ooh, got hot. Camp Lejeune, sunny in 83. Granbury, Texas, mostly sunny in 82. Montana stayed relatively cool. Sun in 60. 29 Palms, sunny in 82. Camp Pendleton, sunny, partly cloudy in 70. So across the board, everywhere is warm. Okinawa, Japan, dark, cloudy, raining, with a series of weather alerts. Marja, warmer. The whole world's warmer. The whole world gets warm. The whole world cools off. It's amazing. In Afghanistan, in the Helmand province, it is 101 degrees with the sun going down. And clear skies. Costa Mesa, California. Above 70, we don't like that. Above 70 at this time, we don't like that. So, cloudy. Looking for a high of 81 today. Looking for a high of 81 tomorrow. Looking for a high of 82 on Thursday. That's all right. I'm all right with that, just so everybody knows. I'm all right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll check news headlines here on a Wednesday morning, and then before we go to break, I'll tell you a quick story. So it's 5:58. I'm getting out of bed to hop in the shower to get in here by 6:10, whatever, so I can do the pre-work, blah, 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 blah. Do a little reading. So my phone rings like another human's calling me at 5:58. I'm like, who is this? Hopefully somebody butt-dialed me and they'll hang up. I look. It's F-18, man. Hello? Hey, man, what are you doing? Okay, look, I don't know what this is about, but if this is not an emergency, then you are going to pay. He's like, what, man? I thought you'd be working out. I'm like, okay, don't go there with me, okay, girlfriend? Just stop what you're doing. What? He goes, hey, have you called Peyton yet? And I said, no. I said, I'm still finding, okay, his niece, Peyton, is a singer. She's going on a USO tour. So I said, I'm just trying to find a way to fit her in. And he said, well, I said, because, I mean, it's about a three-question interview if we're just talking about a USO tour. So I was thinking about having you on, and he said, no. He said, you know, Peyton's father committed suicide, and so the whole mental health thing, she's all about. And I think that, you know, the USO tour is a way that she's going to get back and blah, blah. I said, oh, you might want to have included that in the initial discussion, bro. I'm not telling you how to live your life, but... So, anyway, her name is Peyton Davis. She's a singer, going on a USO tour. And so At some point, you will hear from her. F-18 man, violating a lot of laws this morning, calling it 558. Unbelievable. But, you know, the more I do this, the more, and I'll tell you what, and almost prophetic, and just out of coincidence, me telling the story, it's what I hear in my head screaming at me, right? Emma. That's how my head works. I'm talking about one thing, and then my brain starts yelling at me. So we're sitting in Luke and Emma's living room, and we're talking about, I don't know, Almarine Radio, about, you know, how we met Luke, Luke's mom, Libby, blah, 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 blah. And so I said, yeah, but, you know, one of the things at Almarine Radio, you know, we've learned is that, you know, in order for anybody to deal with trauma, and we're talking about veterans here specifically, the first realization is you're not special because you got yours in combat. It seems like you're special, but look around. There's a lot of people that live with trauma, and now you're one of them. And you're lucky because, you know, people will point to you and say, oh, yeah, you know, he fought in Iraq, he fought in Vietnam, he fought in... But look around. You know, victims of aggravated assault, victims of muggings, victims of sexual assault, victims of child abuse, they all live with it. And you begin to say, you know, I'm a member of a pretty large group here that lives with trauma. And so we were talking about that. And I said, so one of the things I think that, you know, we're working on is to export to other people that live with trauma, you know, how to learn to coexist with it and speak the truth to them as well as we speak it to each other. One, you're not getting over it. The best you're going to do is learn to coexist with it. Two, if you're struggling with it, stop drinking. Stop smoking your marijuana, man. It ain't helping. It unleashed the beast. So we're having that conversation, and the conversation goes on, and one of the things that Emma said was, well, I have trauma in my life. And so he and I can relate on a level that he gets it. And it made my little heart, like, I say, get bigger, like when the Grinch hears the Who people and his heart grows. It made my heart feel good because it's like, you got that right. You didn't even know that she's the target audience, and you have your head out of your ass enough to say that in this conversation, and ultimately it proves right. And so, and I thought about what Mashiach felt like, right? She has her own trauma, because something happened in her life, and it registers heavily on the Richter scale. Right. It's not my business to talk about it, but in any detail. But so she's sitting there. You wonder if, like, so does she think, oh, here we go, another pity party? And then all of a sudden, when you say we're not anything special, there's a lot of people. How different that sounds to her. Oh my God, you know, it's not going to be a pity party. It's like these guys have thought about it, and I'm included in that group. Wow. And so, you know, so again, I'm not saying we're in no way, shape, or form smarter than anybody else. We do keep our head in the game, though, and we try to learn, and the lessons that we tend to pass on are not anything new. They've been given to us, and we pass them along. And then, you know, and then we think about them, and in some way, shape, or form, we modify them a little bit. And I think the good part, at least I think it is, it's everyday person stuff. I'm not a psychiatrist, although I will play one on the radio at times. But I do know what good advice is. And I sure as hell know it when I hear it. I think most people do. And so, you know, again, that Jeremiah Workman, that that advice, got to keep the monkeys in the cage, and that's why you don't drink. Yeah. You let the gorillas out to roam the planet. Not a good thing. And it's all, I mean, it's wise stuff. My gunny's saying you're not going to get over it. That sounds so callous, but there's so much wisdom in it, and there's so much compassion in it. Yeah. Not words you associate with the Marine Corps culture. Wisdom, compassionate. What? Are we talking about the same organization? Yeah, I didn't think so. But yeah, that's the oral tradition. And then, but to me, though, All Marine Radio has the opportunity to be exporters of that to the general population. And to see the look of relief on somebody's face when you look at them and say, dude, you'll get over it when they slam the lid on you. And even then, maybe not. You're okay. It should bother you. It's not easy. Now you have their attention. Because not too many people say that. All right, we'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. We'll check the news headlines on our way to the top of the hour. We'll talk to Luke. And what we're going to talk to Luke about is what it's like to be a young guy and go to the VA and get, I don't know if Luke got the runaround, but we'll find out. And we'll talk about how he handled it and all of that. So, Luke, today, in about 15, 18, 23 minutes, at 8:05 Pacific time, Luke from Alabama, more of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
On the other side of the street I knew stood a girl that looked like you. I guess that's deja vu, but I thought this can't be true, cause you moved to West L.A. or New York or Santa Fe or wherever to get away from me.
/7:47 here on a Wednesday hump day. Getting towards the end of summer. August 15th. 2 weeks, September. Alright, let me, we'll do some breaking news here right now. It's out of Afghanistan. The Taliban attack on an Afghan military outpost killed up to 44 policemen and soldiers on Wednesday, while a separate suicide blast in Kabul killed at least 48 people as the relentless wave of violence continues across Afghanistan. Again, the suicide bombing thing is not an Afghan thing. So to me, when you see that, you see ISIS. The, Botox girl just told me that it's been 2 years since she's had her heart attack. Botox girl she's a fit girl. So, congratulations on her second anniversary. Yeah, she was the one that was getting. I was talking to Mike yesterday about Botox shots to the head. So, anyway, back to the news. Congratulations on her anniversary. The concern is these things come out of the blue. You have these outposts. You have intel people in those outposts, and you don't hear shit. Yeah, that's not exactly what you're looking for, because it means the people that are living around there, where these guys are moving through, nobody's picking up the phone. Next question, why aren't they picking up the phone? Why aren't they picking up the phone? Because they don't think we're the strongest tribe? Because the Taliban are stronger? Like, we might have people in an outpost, but everything around the outpost is owned by them? Yeah, none of that good news. Anyway, so, more details. Local officials in the northern province of Baghlan, B-A-G-H, as opposed to Bagram, Baghlan, B-A-G-H-L-A-N, said at least 9 policemen and 35 soldiers were killed in the attack early Wednesday, the latest in a series that has killed dozens of members of security forces across Afghanistan. Later in the day, weeks of relative calm in Kabul were shattered by a suicide attack on an educational center in a mainly Shiite area in the west, on the west side of the Afghan capital, that killed at least 48 people and wounded 67. That's a huge explosion, just so you know. And it has all the trimmings of ISIS. right? One, like I said, Afghans, they don't do that. So somebody from outside. Two, who they target? They target Shiites. Okay? That means that, again, I don't know. I'm just giving you the tea leaves as I know them. All right? The attacks which came in the central city of Ghazni over the weekend. Ghazni struggled to recover after 5 days of intense fighting, underlined how hard the insurgents have been pressuring badly stretched local security forces. There was no immediate claim of responsibility for the Kabul blast, but the attack bore the hallmark of the Islamic State. Go figure. The Taliban, who launched their Ghazni assault last Friday and battled Afghan forces backed by U.S. airstrikes in the middle of the city for days, said their fighters were pulled out to prevent further harm to the city's population. Okay, let me translate that. We were getting our head kicked in and we had to get the hell out of there. Quote, they were facing severe shortages of food and drinking water from the power supply was also suspended for 2 days, the Taliban commander said, who declined to be identified by telephone. Right. So anyway, things, interesting stuff going on, kind of breaking news today as we keep our eye on Afghanistan. Top stories, Marine Corps news from last night to today. Secretary of Defense talking a little bit, and I'd love to hear him do a longer kind of interview about the Space Force. He's in Rio de Janeiro. The United States engaging Brazil because of Chinese efforts in the region. Speaking during a trip in Brazil, Mattis said repeatedly that the U.S. has no plans to put weapons in space, but he emphasized the vital and growing role that satellites play, not just in military operations, but in the world economy. I saw an interview with somebody recently that said, hey, your ATM, the way that the financial world is linked, the way, you know, your GPS works, all the different things that go through your phone, right? Go away if space isn't open and peaceful. So pretty interesting how much of your life happens via satellite. Secretary of Defense went on, quote, we understand the message that China is sending. They could take out a satellite in space, Mattis said in his remarks to about 270 military officers and civilians in Brazil's premier war college. Since then, our intelligence services have watched other nations, including Russia, develop space attack capabilities. So this is a reality. We are not initiating this. We are saying that we will be able to defend our satellites in space. At the same time, if someone is going to try to engage in space with military means, we will not stand idly by. We don't intend to militarize space. However, we will defend ourselves in space if necessary. He finished with this. I don't tell adversaries in advance what we will do or what we will not do. We will not stand idly by if someone tried to deny us the use of space. I wouldn't read anything more into that comment. Okay. So, that in the news this morning for the Secretary of Defense. Here's an interesting headline. Busted with 267 pounds of pot and a DD-214 that says U.S. citizen, should this Marine have been deported? In February 2002, 5 years after Jose Marie Martinez was sentenced to federal prison on drug charges, he was to be released. But immigration agents said his paperwork was incorrect. 2 weeks later, he was deported. He's a Vietnam veteran. First, he doesn't want your sympathy. He was busted in 1997 on the Texas border with 267 pounds of marijuana in his car. Quote, I screwed up. It was bad. It was so bad it pisses me off sometimes, Martinez said. He's an ardent supporter of Donald Trump. His personal views on former President Barack Obama landed him in Facebook jail. He takes a hard line on those who are in the U.S. illegally. To the day he was deported, he thought he was a U.S. citizen. In February 2002, he just completed 5 years in federal prison for the drug bust. He served his time. Martinez was ready to be released and start over. Instead, immigration agents walked into the holding cell in Oakdale, Louisiana. They said they were going to deport me. I said, "You can't. I'm a U.S. citizen." Their reply shocked me. "No, you're not." The next 2 weeks were a blur. He appeared before an immigration judge. He looked at his DD-214, where it asked, "U.S. citizen?" The United States Marine Corps had checked yes. But when the U.S. Immigration and Natural Service looked at his records, it found nothing in his files to support that he had completed the naturalization process. Quote, "According to government records, Sergeant Martinez did not qualify for citizenship or naturalization. After his arrest and incarceration for an aggravated felony, the Department of Justice deported him under Section 237A2A, Subsection 3 of the INS Act, convicted of a crime for which a sentence of 1 year or longer was imposed." His deportation, at his hearing, Martinez said the judge told him that he had a case and could probably win, but he'd have to go back to jail to wait for a hearing, which might take 2 years. Martinez's other option was to be deported. He wasn't going to go back to jail for 2 years. In the second week of March 2002, he was walked across a bridge and back to Mexico. He bought tacos, then he bought a lawnmower. "I'm a fighter. I'm a survivor. I painted houses, mowed lawns, sold food in the street." Shows his ribbons. And again, nobody knows if these are, you know, if these are right or not. But it says it fought in Vietnam in 1967, 1968. Has a Navy COM with a Combat V, Combat Action Ribbon, and a Good Conduct Medal. Martinez is just 18 when his battalion engaged, doesn't say which battalion, at Con Tien, a desperate and drawn-out firefight near the North Vietnamese border. Actually near the DMZ, right? He rattles off others, Cam Lo, the washout, crossing the Ben Hai River. "I'm a grunt. I prayed that I would be able to go to war, and by God's grace, I did." Talks about his time in Vietnam. But again, if you don't complete the naturalization process, how are you a citizen? In spite of what your DD-214 says. That's some clerk that says, "Oh yeah, he did it." I'm just trying to get to the end of the story, and it goes on and goes on and goes on. Anyway, I'm interested in that case. So we'll check back in with it. Following a story that is an icky story, but I don't know where it leads, but this is published yesterday. White House called toxin contamination a quote unquote PR nightmare. And this is the ongoing story around the nation of contamination at military bases that I don't understand. EPA testing for 2013 to 2015 found significant amount of PFAS. That's the chemical that gets in your water from these kind of from the fuels and all the lubricants, all the stuff that goes into the ground over the course of decades, right? Before there was anything like an environmental act, right? Found them in 33 states. In 2016, the EPA set up advisory limits without any direct enforcement for two kinds of, and then it goes into the science behind it. And this is what they lived through at Camp Lejeune, and it took them decades to get some kind of resolution to it. Decades. People dying of cancer. So it'll be really interesting to see what the Secretary of Defense does with this. And let me tell you, the settlement relative to Camp Lejeune was ginormous, financially ginormous. One more story before we bring Luke on. Secretary of Defense wants commanders to rely more on the UCMJ for disciplinary problems. Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis has issued new guidance to commanders across the military. Stop relying on administrative action for disciplinary problems and start using the UCMJ more often. In a memo dated August 13th, Mattis called the military justice system a powerful tool for good order and discipline, and he says flatly out, is a commander's duty to use it. Military leaders must not interfere with individual cases, but fairness to the accused does not prevent military officers from appropriately condemning and eradicating malignant behavior from our ranks, Mattis wrote. Leaders must be willing to choose the harder right over the easier wrong. Administrative action should not be the default method to address illicit conduct simply because it's less burdensome to the military justice system. Leaders cannot be so risk averse that they lose their focus on forging disciplined troops ready for ferocity and ethically defend our enemies in the battlefield. And then it's pretty in a pretty interesting graphic that sucks as a graphic. In 2014, Military Times investigation found the figures for punishments handed down via the UCMJ spiked during 2006-2007 during the surge in Iraq, and then declined precipitously. The investigation found that military commanders are more likely to rely on administrative action, including issuing nonjudicial punishment and quickly seeking administrative separation rather than pushing for a court-martial. The memo comes just days after President Donald Trump signed a law entitled the 2019 National Defense Authorization Act, which includes language creating a new category under the UCMJ for domestic violence. The act also creates new laws for child-on-child sexual assault on military bases. As with most of Mattis's statements, the memo couches the guidance in terms of increasing lethality for the troops. He ends with this: if a subordinate makes a mistake, leaders should learn to coach them better. But we must not tolerate or ignore lapses in discipline, for our enemies will benefit if we do not correct and appropriately punish substandard conduct. Time, inconvenience, or administrative burdens are no excuse for allowing substandard conduct to persist. Let me tell you, I believe that is a huge issue in today's military. And you see manifestations of it in the Marines United stuff and all the rest of that. If you don't have let me tell you, it's no different than parenting. If you don't have standards, if there are no consequences, all you got to do is walk around a supermarket and look how kids behave relative to their parents, because that's how you people parent now. Yeah, there are no consequences, and they have extremely low standards, and that's why you see children acting the way they do in public. It's a joke. All right, don't get me going on that one. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. We're going to talk to Luke about being a young guy dealing with PTSD and how does it work. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
Security.